Hi, and welcome to this week's Tiger Trail podcast. In this podcast, we're going to tell you what we've been up to as we regrow the world's tropical rainforests. We're going to give a few shout-outs to people who've been helping us along this week, and we're going to reiterate what our goals are for this week and of course, for the long term. Finally, we're going to jump into a few thoughts about the environment and why we're doing what we're doing before closing. So, I'm Dennis Oakley. I'm the founder of Tiger Trail, and it's great to have you listening. Okay, so this week was super, super exciting. On Thursday, Jeffrey and I headed over to meet with some venture capitalists at the TPC, the golf club in Kuala Lumpur. And we were thinking, okay, so why do these venture capitalists want to see us? Tiger Trail is very unlikely to make lots of money, and certainly not the kind of money that venture capitalists are interested in. So we gave them a pitch. It was our first time pitching Tiger Trail to an audience who would really be able to contribute to us. And they loved it. And that was absolutely brilliant. They were blown away by what we were saying. And that was crazy. And they said, yes, we really want to work with you. We're working out those details. It will take a few months to come to fruition, but that was super, super exciting. So we were all very, very pleased with that. Other news, Brian has now managed to get the basic Tiger Trail website up. That's going to be, we've still got a lot of work to do with that because it's still got loads of lorem ipsum information in it. That's the information that is just dummy text, so we've got to change that and make it meaningful and really capture what we're talking about. And to help us on the way of doing that, I also spent a lot of time writing stuff at the weekend about who we are, what we want to do, how we want to make it to work, what our culture is going to be like, so on and so forth, until basically my brains were coming out of my ears, which is a bit of a gruesome image, but that's where it was. So we managed to get quite a lot done last week, despite a difficult start for me because I was stuck with food poisoning in the Philippines. Jeffrey was also doing amazing stuff, reaching out to quite a lot of people who know a lot about the environment, who've got very big fan followings around Malaysia, and hopefully we'll be able to get some of those people on board over the next few weeks. So very, very exciting movements there. So a few shout-outs this week for people who've helped us along the path. And as usual, apologies if I totally butcher your name. It's not intentional. Alice Faros Nida Rahim, Paul McCalman, Ahmed Razlan, Abdul Muina Wang, MK Tan, Malik Prada, Jennifer Yu, Jennifer Lim, J.S. Gisbert, William Ho, and Philippa Jung, as well as Ming, Ashwin, and Wilson. Thank you very much, guys. Your love and your passion is really, really appreciated. Thanks for supporting us. Okay, so we have a bunch of goals for this week that we're trying to do. Firstly, I think the big one is, as last week, getting our Register of Societies done. We need 7 people to be at the initial meeting to get Tiger Trail launched, and we need to set up the X-Guy. Then we basically need to go to the Register of Societies and say, here we are, can we register? That then enables us to do lots of good things, including start raising money that we can then use to make a difference to the jungle. So that is pretty important. It gets us onto the firm legal footing. the other thing that we're going to be working on is getting the website up and running so that we're really able to tell people what we want to do. And Facebook is a nice platform. We need something with a little bit more meat on it. And the website is going to be really, really useful because it's going to help us to really express clearly what we want to do, how we want to do it, and give everybody a chance to one, understand and give us feedback, and also to help us to recruit new members, to recruit new volunteers, and as we go on. So that's pretty exciting. And I think the final thing this week is just getting out and spreading the word as we've nailed down, we manage a lot of the little things that we have to do internally and make it all happen. So, excited. So when we pitched this week to the venture capitalists, it was one of the things that they talked about was that we didn't really describe the problem that we were trying to solve really quickly, and I think they were right. I wasn't particularly clear. So let me try and explain the problem that we're trying to solve very, very clearly. Man trashes the environment. Man causes massive species extinctions and man destroys ecosystems. We have done that to every ecosystem that we have lived in since we started leaving the Rift Valley in Africa 250,000, half a million years ago, however long it was. Yeah, our footprints are everywhere. Our paw prints are everywhere. Our axe prints are everywhere. Our cities are everywhere. That, at the core of it, is human nature destroys the environment. That's the big problem. The smaller problem is the consequence of that, is that sat in rainforests, we have gone through, we've killed all the big animals. We have cut down lots of the trees. We have disrupted so many of the ecosystems that lots of life, lots of biodiversity, lots of viability has been lost. Now, there are also smaller problems that we want to solve. These include we're losing ecosystems, species, environments faster than that they can grow back. An axe is a pretty fast way of killing a 200-year-old tree. When you put in a chainsaw, it's unfair. Secondly, a lot of corporations and individuals donate money to charities and NGOs. A lot of that money is wasted because it is not directed to the right place where it will have maximum impact. Another problem, a lot of scientists do research. A lot of that research is wasted because nobody is there thinking about how to commercialize it, in inverted commas, use it for the common good. These are some of the big problems that we can solve with what we're proposing with Tiger Trail. Yeah, well, we're not biting off very much here. It's not like we're going to change the world or anything. Damn right it is. We are going to make a big difference. So do join us, and in a minute I'm going to talk a little bit about why we're thinking this way. So one of the big influences on our thinking here is a chap called Noah Yuval Harari. He wrote a couple of books. The first one is called Sapiens, and is about Homo sapiens. And the second one is called Homo Deus, and it's talking about who mankind, who humanity is going to become in the future. And one of his theses is that, broadly speaking, man before the advance of agriculture generally had a fairly intimate relationship with the natural environment. He cared about it, and he felt he was an equal with the trees, with the weather, with the rocks, with the stones. When we got the agricultural revolution 3,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, firstly in the Middle East and China, and then in other parts of the world, two things happened almost simultaneously. One is we changed the way that we live, and we settled down on farms. We gathered crops during the summer and ate them during the winter. And the other thing that we did was that we started believing in gods who pretty much said, this is the way that the world is. You go out and you harvest the crops. Now, what Harari is basically saying in his argument is that from that point onwards, and he's fairly clear that he makes no real distinction between people who believe in a god or religious people and people who don't. He says pretty much that whether you're a humanist, whether you're a liberal, in the European sense of liberal, US conservative, anything, we all believe in the primacy of man. Man is superior to everything else in the world, and as a result of his cleverness, his opposing thumbs, his ability to talk, think, plan, whatever argument you make for the basis of human superiority, we believe ourselves superior, and therefore we are entitled to take what we want from the world. And his argument is basically saying, okay, there is this big shift, this change in Weltanschauung, or worldview, between what we were like as hunter-gatherers and what we are like now as agricultural farmers. So, when we look at nature, one of the things that I took from this is that humans, animals, flowers, trees, bacteria, all have essentially the same rights to the world. We all should be able to exist for multiple generations, for millions of years. And the way that I see it is that this is unbalanced. Because we take what we want, because we grasp what we want, we have created lots of imbalances. So if you look at my home country, England or the UK, what you see is a very, very beautiful country, apparently, with lots of stone cottages and rolling fields. The reality is that is a totally trashed environment that was naturally wooded, has wonderful oak, beech, elm woods covering it, full of a variety of large animals, from elk and deer to bears and wolves and boars to a plethora of smaller animals. And that environment is gone, utterly, irredeemably gone. So when we think about the forests in Southeast Asia, where I'm thinking is, they have, broadly speaking, the same rights as we do. They have the right to existence, the right to have future generations, the right to population health. We don't like it. Humans don't really like it if we're forced to inbreed with our cousins and end up with lots of genetic deformities. Fundamentally, I don't think it's right that the forests, that the all the species in the forest ecosystems should suffer that fate either. And so it's what we're trying to do is redress this wrong, to put it right. It's to say, okay, how can we get the forest to be large enough again so that there is that capacity? So just as humans want to have a high quality of a good life, how can we give the same sort of quality of life to all the animals and the plants in the forest,
and preserve that for future generations. And this seems to be quite important. And there's quite a lot of scientific evidence that this is how humans think or thought about the world as hunter-gatherers. I mean, this has been developed from looking at how hunter-gatherer tribes in the Amazon and in Papua New Guinea change as they become civilized, how they think of, Westerners think very much a plant's a plant, it's a type of plant, we can use it however we want. It may be valueless, but if we discover value in it, it is ours to use. Whereas that's quite different when you're looking at hunter-gatherers. They see that everything has a value. It's a value in its own right, not because of any function or utility for human purposes. It's only when they start farming, start gathering, that they are incredibly cruel to animals. And this, honestly, this is kind of really strange for me, because I've never really been into animal rights. I love eating my bacon. I love eating my chicken and my beef. But it's increasingly clear that many animals have emotional feelings, that they are really quite similar to humans or on many levels of being. And so what we do to them would be totally unacceptable if they were human. And we see them as robotic automata with no feeling, no sense, no consciousness, no minds. So that there's a wrongness there. So Tiger Trail is seeking to put a small part of this problem right. Is seeking to look at the forests, look at the manifold species inside them. Maybe it's a million species inside the Malaysian rainforest. Maybe it's 5 million species. Most of them have probably never been documented. Can we give them a place of their own? Can we give them future generations? Can we make a commitment to say, the species that we have now, can they still be there in 10 generations, 1,000 generations, 1 million generations? A million generations is probably hard, except for a few of the smaller bacteria who multiply quite quickly and probably are lesser at risk. But can we at least say that it's not going to be because of the actions of this generation of humans that they will dwindle and die? There we go. That's what I'm talking about. That's what we're trying to do in Tiger Trail. I hope you followed the philosophical musings. If not, chuck me some questions and I'll try and be a little bit clearer next time. Thanks for listening, and speak to you soon. Okay, so that's it for this week. All that remains for me is to say thank you very much for listening. And please do tell your friends about the podcast. Do tell them about Tiger Trail and the change that we're trying to make in the environment and how we're trying to, no, not trying, how we are regrowing the rainforest in Southeast Asia. Do tell them all, and please encourage them to support us. It will make a huge difference, not only for us, but our future generations and those of future generations of all the plants and animals who live in the rainforest. Thank you for listening. Talk to you next week. Bye.